I want to take a few moments today and share a message with you that I've entitled, He is Good. Why don't you just say that with me this morning and just proclaim that this morning, He is Good. Now, I couldn't think of a better time of the year to talk about the goodness of God than this season that we're in right now. And that is the Christmas season. And I want you to listen to some of this that I'm going to read to you this morning, because it is so true. If your greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If your greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. And if your greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So what did God do? God sent us His Savior. I want you to listen to this verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and I love this verse. And it says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Now, beloved, when I read this verse and when I think about these thoughts, I want to tell you what I see and what I experience in my heart. I experience the goodness of God, and I'm made aware of the goodness of God when I think about all that God has done for us. How about you this morning? Now, most of us are familiar with Psalms 23, and here's the reason we're probably more familiar with it than we are any of the other Psalms, because it's written on the back of most of the obituaries at funerals that I attend and you attend and even that I officiate in. In this psalm, David is really revealing to us how the Good Shepherd is leading our lives and caring tenderly for us. How many of you are familiar with that? I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but he ends this psalm by stating this in verse 6, and I'm going to read this verse to you out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. Here's how it reads. It says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." I love this verse, because it says to all of us, goodness will pursue me. Not just today, not just during this season, but the goodness of God will pursue me all the days of my life. Can you hear what David is saying this morning? And better than that, can you hear what God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to all of us in this season? Surely the goodness of the Lord shall follow me all the days of my life. That's good news. Now, this word in its original Hebrew means this. The word goodness means best, it means favor, and it means prosperity. Now, when I think about this, folks, I tell you what, sounds great to me. How about you? The goodness of God sounds like a really good deal to me. But like David, all of us, we need a fresh understanding of God's goodness, because I know we're living in some tough times. Some of you have had some very real experiences that if I were to ask you, were they positive or negative, you would say they were negative. And from a natural standpoint, that's true. In fact, as a shepherd, I'm sitting here thinking about some of you and what I know is going on in your lives and some of the losses. We've had family who have lost loved ones to car accidents just the other night. We've got folks who are struggling with disease in their body. And so, like David, I'm here to remind you something. Not only am I here to remind you of the goodness of God, but I want to stir some faith in your heart today. I don't know about you, but I'll take God's best. I'll take His favor because I need it. I'll take His prosperity. And I'm telling you, I'm not ashamed of the prosperity of the Lord. I will receive it. How about you? In fact, I will take it any day over what this world offers me. And I don't think I'm alone on this one. But I want to ask you a question, and I like to do this sometimes when I'm preaching a message. I want you to think today. I know it's a busy season. I know we've all been up late. We've been working hard, doing all kinds of things, you know. But listen, I want you to think today for a moment. Here's the question. Do you expect that God's goodness, is going to pursue you all the days of your life? Do you? If the answer is no, which I'm sure some of you, if you were to be honest, you would say, no, I don't expect that. Then what we need to do this morning, we need to determine why the answer is no. Now, I know if we really got very honest today, most of you respond saying, no. Here's what you would say. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And then that would settle the issue with us, and we would just kind of move on and kind of just settle. That's the way it's going to be. I'm just not worthy. And we don't stop to think about what we're saying. We don't stop to think what we're allowing to reside in our heart and in our minds. The failure with this conclusion is that Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death are not being applied. They're not being appropriated. In fact, they're not even being factored into most of our day-to-day thinking. We just say, hey, I'm not worthy. And we know why we're not worthy. We're not perfect. We don't have everything worked out. So we just kind of settle it there. I want you to listen to me today. This could be considered an insult to God, considering all that He's done for us. I want to repeat that. Come on, we can't go through this season. I don't even want you to go through this service just saying, hey, I'm unworthy. I've done bad things. We've all done bad things, and we don't like it. But we've done them. We regret them. And if we're wise, we repent of them. But I got to say this, folks. I think a lot of things that we think offend God and insult God are not the things that offend Him or insult Him. But I think not understanding what He's done for us, that could be an insult to God. Sometimes we feel so much better when we just kind of look down on ourselves and we kind of crawl in a little cave of self-pity and say, poor old me, and we cry, and we kind of are sad in our own heart. And I'm not here to say that there's not reasons to be sad. But I think sometimes we kind of think that's the spiritual way, and that's kind of the spiritual approach that we're to take to life's problems. But I tell you this today, folks, we need to factor in what God has done for us. Hey, on your best day, beloved, saints of God, those of you that really believe you're right up there with God, let me tell you, on your best day, you're blowing it. On your best day, when you're compared to God and who He is and His righteousness and His holiness, you're blowing it every day. So come on, let's just get over it. You know, we kind of like feeling that way down on ourselves, don't we? Let's be honest. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood today, because I want to qualify this, because some righteous saint who believes they're above everybody else will come to me and say, well, now, Pastor, what about repentance and cleansing and sanctification? I don't want you to misunderstand me. There is a time for repentance and there's a time for cleansing, but I'm going to tell you something. There's also a time to understand the goodness of God, and this is the season for that. You ought to shout amen. Because if we don't, you know what we do? We cut ourselves off from His favor and from His best and from His prosperity. Beloved, faith has to be factored in to everything we receive from God. So when we get in that, when we get into doubt and unbelief, and we just kind of choose to have a pity party or look down on ourselves, guess what we've done? We have entered into a place where God cannot bless us and where God cannot do anything for us. He said it. He couldn't do any mighty miracles in His own hometown. Why? Because of doubt and unbelief. Hey, it's just Joseph the carpenter. This is the season, beloved, to understand the goodness of God. Why? As I've said, God cannot bless in an atmosphere of doubt and unbelief. I hope this morning that your expectation for what God is going to be doing in your life and in the future and in these upcoming years is high. I'm praying that you are stirred up this morning. You're not just saying, hey, I'm just dirty, rotten, no good, and that settles it. How many of you know God's bigger than our old rotten selves? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God brought the Holy Spirit to help us overcome all those things that we don't like about ourselves? Aren't you glad? I really believe that, and I pray you hear me today, I'm not talking about moments of sadness or seasons of mourning, but I believe that self-pity is an offense to the grace of God. I really believe that. I think we get confused. We think if we self-pity and we feel really rotten most days, then God will receive it. We interpret that as repentance. No, it's not repentance. Repenting is acknowledging what I've done and believing God for the grace and the power to overcome it and then turning from it. Self-pity is just doubt. It's unbelief. It doesn't change anything. But what it does, I believe it can become an offense to the grace of God. Did you know? Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know? Did you know that it is God's goodness that leads people to repentance? Come on, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to restrain here because I am really wanting to preach this. Romans 2 and 4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? He goes on to say, does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness and His goodness is intended to turn you from your sins? See, most of you think when God wants to get your attention, He's just going to one day just beat the snot out of you. You know why a lot of people don't serve God? They think if they serve God, every time they mess up, God's just going to get His big stick out and He's going to whack them. And the problem with that is we've imaged God like maybe what we've watched on television or we've experienced with our physical father or someone in our lives. Don't image God according to this world. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Not only do we think God will whack us one day, here's what we do. Whenever we start getting blessed, we think, hey, I can get by with anything, and I'm just going to go do my own thing. Hey, folks, listen, it is God when He blesses you. It is His goodness that is saying, hey, I want to bless you because I want more of a relationship with you. Don't misinterpret the blessing of God. It is the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. I'm so glad when God wants to do something new in me, He doesn't get angry. Because you know what? Let's be honest. After a while, you kind of get an attitude. You may say, praise the Lord. God is good all the time, and all the time the Lord is good. Praise the Lord. But yet inside we're going, but I don't like the way He's treating me right now. Because we have misinterpreted the goodness of God. Folks, do you understand? According to Isaiah, God put all His anger and all that God had to do in order to make things right for sin, He took it out on Jesus. Read Isaiah 53. Come on, you've got to grasp this. Some of you hear this kind of preaching, and then next week you go out, how you doing? I'm not too good. I'm just, you know, that old self. Hey, folks, let me give you a little clue. If you are walking down a hallway and all of a sudden you see everyone taking a left and a right and avoiding you, and you tend to be a self-pitier, that could be the reason why. If you never have anything good to say and you're like, oh, you see that face, that look on their face, and they're kind of like, oh, God, here we go. What am I going to say this time? It could be you're not the most positive, optimistic person to be around. Come on. We knew this preacher and his wife one time, and she had a little saying, just fake it till you make it. She was talking about one of her greatest desires was to have some diamond earrings one day, and they were poor as dirt. And she said, well, I'm just going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to buy some fake ones, but one day I'm going to exchange these fake ones for a new. Come on, every now and then, folks, sometimes when we greet one another, come on, do we really want to know everything? How are you? Folks, listen. Have a positive word to say just once a week, please. Once a week. How you doing? Oh, my rheumatism. Your well-acquainted gift of rheumatism. I know rheumatism hurts. They don't even call it that anymore, do they? The old folks know what rheumatism is. They know it by name anyway. See, some of you got a revelation here. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen really carefully. I'm just going to slow down. I want you to listen. I'm telling you, this is a word from God to His people. And it's been coming to me. And it's not just for me, but I heard it again this morning. It's for every one of us. And I don't fully understand what all God is saying in this, but I know right now He's saying, you tell them. You know what God wants right now? You know what God needs right now? God needs some friends in the earth. I don't understand when God started speaking this to me. Son, I just need you to be my friend. Son, I just need you. What do you need from me right now, God? What do you want me to do? I just need a friend. God needs some friends on the earth. And you're saying, what do you mean? How can you be friends with God? God is so distant and God is so holy. How can you be friends with God? You can be like Abraham, who was known as the friend of God. What is a friend? A friend is someone that you confide in. God is wanting to confide in you and talk to you about things that He's not going to share with everybody else. He's got some things to say to you and bless you with and share with you. God has a need, beloved, to share His heart. But if we don't understand who we are and that God wants us to be His friend, then we've missed it. Folks, some of you, I just see you working and God saying, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend on the job place. I want to be the friend with you that counsels you and gives you wisdom. Folks, this is the season to experience the goodness of the Lord. I'm in a need to hear a great big amen this morning. Now, to put this in proper context, or at least in the context of salvation that God has provided for us, I'm going to read a verse to you. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and I want you to listen carefully. He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, that's how you get right with God, through faith, not through works. He says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus our Lord has done. I like that. Because of our faith, do you see the connection of faith to the blessing of God? Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. When I read these verses, you know what I see? I see the goodness of God in these verses. We do not deserve it. We don't deserve the privileges that we have. Verses 6 and 8 say this: when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and He died for us sinners. You got to be willing, dear ones, to admit that you're a sinner. You know why we don't do the things that we know we ought to? Because we've got another nature that's always working against us, warring against us. It's called our sinful nature. We know what we ought to do. We know what we want to do. Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. What is it? He said, there's sin in me. But who's going to deliver me from this sinful nature and this sinful body? Christ is going to do it. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and He died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God, everybody say, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us, listen, while we were still sinners. Folks, listen, I see the goodness of God in these verses. How about you? When we were yet sinners. Man, when God came and started visiting me, I wasn't thinking a whole lot about God. And a group of those crazy Christians got together, and a lot of them are sitting here today, and started praying for me. Mark Ellison, our worship leader, showed up at my house one day. And if you know Mark is very persistent. I wasn't exactly being righteous the moment Mark showed up at my house. And Mark went to every door of my house. David! You know where I was at? I was like Adam. And I was like Eve. I was hiding. I saw him coming down the road. And I said, oh my God, here he comes. I'm telling you the truth, and I went and hid. Not in the house. I ran outside and went into my garage area, and I hid. Yet while I was a sinner, God was pursuing me with His goodness and radical Christians. Folks, listen to me. If people who are Christians and you're not one are pursuing you, you need to receive them. You may want to hide occasionally, but answer the door occasionally too. Now, I'm very serious. Because you're on God's heart. God's looking for a friend. Hey, I see the goodness of God in this. Now, here's what will get me in real trouble, particularly eternal trouble. Here it is. It's rejection of God's goodness. That is the only thing that'll get you in trouble with God, is rejecting His goodness. And I even thought about how I wanted to say this. I don't want you to think, okay, man, I'm feeling pretty good. God wants a relationship with me, and now He's gonna lay down some heavy stuff. Rejection of God's goodness is what'll get me in eternal trouble. It can get me in trouble in this life, but certainly in eternity. Because Jesus took all my punishment for me, as well as the whole world. And when God comes and He's pursuing you like He was pursuing me, hey, listen, and we say, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want the goodness of God. Now, I understand that season where you're wondering, hey, I don't understand Christianity. I don't understand Christians. They seem a little weird to me. I understand all that. But you need to recognize it is God's goodness that is pursuing you, not so He can beat you up. Come on, some of you guys are going to have to get over your dads and the way he treated you, because you see God that way, and therefore you're not happy, you're not filled with joy. You've got to let God reimage your mind. God is good, and God is good all the time. Amen? In fact, I was going to close with this verse. I may close with it, but here's the challenge from David. David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And this morning I said, now Lord, what's an application to tasting and seeing that you're good? He said, well, it's just like most people. They like certain foods. And they get in, you know, we kind of like the food of the world. We kind of like whatever it is, McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever it may be. You know, Mexican food. And we kind of keep going to the same restaurant. We keep eating the same food. And someone says, hey, man, I've got a dish for you. I want you to try it. I want you to taste it. No, I don't like that. I don't like that stuff. I don't like peppers. I don't like lemon. I'm on a lemon kick lately. Everything is getting soaked in lemon juice. Picante sauce. A whole lemon. On a little piece of cracker heaped with picante sauce. I tried to get Tracy to taste it and see. She did like we do when God comes and says, taste and see the Lord is good. She's like, oh, how do you do that? I said, it is good. You'd be surprised. We watch a lot of cooking shows now, but only when we're in the midst of eating. And I said, honey, remember some of those programs? They put all these things together and you wouldn't think they're good. I said, you got to try this lemon on this picante sauce on this little cracker. I've forgotten what they are. Don't even tell me, honey, I forgot them. It'll mess me up. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, some of you are at that place where you're just wondering, what is Christianity? Do I really want to step over the line? Do I really want to become a Christian? Do I really want to do all this stuff? Do I want to, you know, have to be committed to church? First of all, you need to change your brain. Do I have to do all these things? God will change your want to. But here's what you need to do, and this is the challenge for you in this season. Experience the goodness of the Lord by tasting of something a little different. Man, come on, be honest. This world, after a while, it doesn't give you anything but heartache and misery and headaches and problems. And then the devil, once he's got you there, what does he do? Night and day. He comes and he torments you. He even tries to sound real spiritual, quote a few scriptures and do all this stuff. He comes and he torments you. And you feel like crawling in that cave of self-pity. I'm telling you, the goodness of God is trying to pursue us, and the goodness of God is saying, I need some friends in the earth that I can share my heart with and that I can confide in. That is the goodness of God. Amen. See, we have a problem with that. We think, well, God would never want to be my friend. Friend, you're going to have to change your mind. You're going to have to renew your mind to the Word of God. God, I'm telling you, I'm hearing this. He wants to be your friend. Stop the list thing. Just stop the list. Well, I do this, and I do that, and I know I've heard them preachers preach. Pardon me. Shut up. Turn the button off. Forgive me. But that's what you need to do. Just every now and then we need a good in-your-face, shut up. Don't send me any emails, any letters. You heard the story one time. I was feeling so good. I thought, man, that was the hottest sermon I had preached in years. And someone came and visited me in the office the next day and said, Pastor, you offended me and our family. We do not use the word shut up in our home. And you deeply offended us. Oh, I said, shut up. True story. With a little bit of lemon twist on it there. Listen to this. Yeah, I'm going to read this verse to you again, Romans 2 and 4. I said, here's what will get us in trouble. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? And remember, I asked you this question, which the verse does. He says, does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness and His goodness is intended to turn you from your sins? Listen to verse 5. And I really don't want this to be heavy, but I'm telling you what will cause you to miss the goodness of God. Verse 5 says, but because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up a terrible punishment for yourself, for a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Yes, there is a day that the anger and the wrath of God will be released on all who rejected Him. And that is the single and only reason why. Rejection of His goodness. That's it. He says there's only one unforgivable sin known to man, and it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is? Sounds like a big thing, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit is the one who is in the earth working. He's the one who convicts me of sin and of righteousness and pending judgment. He's the one that helps me move towards God. He lets me know when I've missed God. And so to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit when He comes and says, you need a Savior, you've got sin in your life, and you reject that, that's what will get you in trouble with God. Not now necessarily, but in eternity. Oh, and some of you say, well, okay, I'm going to wait till just before I die, and then I'm going to accept Jesus. And we kind of laugh at that, but folks, people do that. Listen, this isn't going to sound like faith to you. But I'm going to tell you, you don't know 100% for sure if you're going to be here tomorrow. Oh dear, now He's trying to scare us. No, I'm not. When I got the call yesterday that a member of our church's niece was tragically killed the night before, a God-fearing young person, 21 years old, tragically killed in a car accident, and everybody else in the car survived. You don't know. You don't know, and don't be arrogant with me and tell me that you do. You do not know. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the reality. We need to be prepared for eternity. And some of you know my testimony. One of the things that brought me into the kingdom was these crazy Christians praying. Good Lord, they'd get together on Saturday night and worship God and have communion and pray for me. Try to go out and have a party when some radical Christians are praying for you. Try it. Some of you now, you're getting a revelation. You're beginning to understand why life is so miserable for you. Right? You got some people praying for you. Woo! Some of these small groups are praying for people. We need to keep doing it. But because of your stubbornness, you're storing up a terrible day of punishment. So when I see all this, Here's the choice. God's goodness, His best, His favor, His prosperity and His salvation versus His wrath and His anger. It's kind of a no-brainer to me. You know, I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but this seems like a no-brainer to me. I want His best. I am not going to lie to you. I'm not going to be one of those preachers that stand up and say, oh, I don't, you know, and try to be all false. I need His best. I need the favor of God. I don't just want it. I need it. And I need His prosperity. So you're not going to hear me kind of back talking and saying, oh, you know, I don't need that in my heart. I need it. I want it. And don't you get offended if it comes and when it does. In fact, it is on me. Don't be offended. You see, it is God's goodness, beloved, that has provided these things for us. And the goodness of God has provided a very marvelous salvation for me and for you and for the entire world. You see, I hope and pray that you are expecting God's goodness to pursue you all the days of your life. Come on, is some of you going to change your mind? You're going to start rethinking this thing and say, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe God is good. Well, if you believe the Bible says God is good. David said this in Psalms 27 and 13. He said, I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. David's not talking about the sweet by and by. He's talking about now. And dear ones, here's what I want you to hear, and here's what I want you to be encouraged in. I want you to see the goodness of God. I want you to see the best that God has for you. I want you to see the favor of God. And I'm telling you, I can just say it right now because I sense it. Some of you, even though you don't think you're worthy, it's just going to come over you in this next year, in this next season that we're going into. It's going to happen. I want it now while I'm alive. Hey, folks, when we get to heaven, we'll have it. But I tell you, God wants to give it to us right now. Psalm 65 and 4 says, blessed is the man you choose and calls to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts, while he shall be satisfied, listen to this, with the goodness of your house and of your temple. I have another question for you. When you come to church, do you expect the goodness of God to pursue you? Do you expect it? If not, why not? Why not? Well, because I'm just no good and I messed up on Saturday night, or, you know, I said something wrong to the wife, or if you're really spiritual, you say you're old lady. Don't you say that. You can say it in your brain. But one day, guess what? It's going to slip out. You know, that fills the heart. It's going to come out one day. Folks, listen. When we come to church, we should expect that the goodness of God is going to pursue us. I am persuaded that there are certain aspects of God's goodness that you are only going to see in the house of God. Come on, say amen. You can tell by my amen, I believe that one. I hope you do. And I believe that every aspect of God's goodness is coming upon us. Amen. That's good news in this hour that we live in. And those are not just words. I believe that's exactly what God has told me. And folks, that's the reason that we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Can we say that together? Say, God is good, God is good. All the time. And all the time. Come on, let that be your confession this year. Let it be your confession in this season. Amen. And I want to close with this one final thought this morning. And I really believe this is for all of us. And I've got a challenge for you for this next week ahead. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 lists what the fruit of the Spirit is. In other words, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, there are certain attributes of God that are going to come flowing out of your life. He lists 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. 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 Here's my challenge. Instead of getting all bent out of shape right now. You know, I've heard a few people venting and sharing their frustrations right now. People and all going on this season. Stop it. Slow down. And let the goodness of God come out of you. Come on, husbands and wives. I know you're going to things in the evenings for the children. You got family preparations. You're doing all these different things. Slow down. Enjoy the season. Because it's a season of God's goodness. Man, look at your neighbor and say, slow down. Now see, if you hadn't gotten this message by now, you went, yeah, right, preacher, yeah, right. You need to repent. Yeah, right, preacher. Slow down. Yeah, you don't know. I'm going to pray for you this week. I'm telling you, under the authority of the Lord, slow down. I can't slow down, preacher. You don't understand. I can't slow down. All right, if you can't slow down, just take Jesus with you. I believe He can keep up with you. But do this. Let the goodness of God flow out of you when you're shopping and when you're with your people and when you, some of you are going to have to go and be with people that you don't want to be with. Let the goodness of God come out of you. I can't do that, preacher. I've tried. Again, some of you are arguing with me. You just don't know, preacher. I know this. The power of the Holy Spirit will do it. Stop leaning on your own strength. Instead of getting all worked up and saying, man, I'm mad. You know what they did to me. You think I'm going to forgive them? You think I'm going to release them? Do you know what they did to me last year at this season? Do you know what they did just last week? Do you know, honey, you work yourself up in a frothy, fervent fever? No, when you walk into that place, and even though the devil's trying to scramble your brain, you love them. And you be good to them. Be good to them. Some of you have relatives that you need to get on the phone. You won't see them this season. You need to get on the phone and call and say, you don't know. You don't know what they do every time I call them. Well, you just put on the armor of God and you call them anyway and you just shower them with goodness. I'm going to close with this thought. Folks, people are not going to respond to angry Christians today. They never have. They never will. They may act like, you may think you're kind of a special person that kind of can whip people into shape by being hard and being angry. Wrong. Wrong. Nobody's responding to anger and aggression today. In fact, at some point, people who are abused by anger and oppression all the time, they're going to react at some point. But we need to enjoy the goodness of the Lord ourselves. And then this season, and I'm about to pray for us, we need to go give the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Give kindness. Give love and joy and peace. Oh yeah, the devil will challenge you on it. But you can do it. Can I pray for you now? Father, we want to thank You for this great season. And what it means to all who are believers in Jesus, Your disciples. Father, we see the goodness of God today. Lord, help us all to recognize that when You are being good and You are being kind to us, that it is Your goodness that You are wanting to use to lead us into something better. Father, I pray for every person that's experiencing loneliness right now and in this time that we're in. I pray that God, they will see themselves as Your friend, and that Lord, even though they may be physically alone, I pray You would come to them as a friend and You would speak to them as only a friend can. You would be a comfort and You would be an encouragement to them. And I pray these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,